Yep.
Ready?
Ready. Thunderbirds are go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Mac Show. Yes, we're back. It's good. We've done a photo show just before this. Now we're doing The Mac Show. Then we're going to do The Big Show at 8 p.m. And it's a special one. It's a real special one. Because joining us in the studio, not only have we got the inimitable Muller, of course, but Callum's coming. Hello, mate.
Hello. How you doing?
You need to use the mic, mate.
How you doing? You're all right.
Have you got your earpods in?
Yeah.
And then you can hear your own voice, so you need to be about as loud as me. That's the key.
Okay.
Now, this must be a great occasion for you, because there's something on the wall behind you that hasn't fallen off.
I know, yeah. It's good. Well, Joe's been off. Well, Joe's been off this week, so it was never going to fall off anyway.
Well,
so.
No, the reason it's still up is because Joe didn't put it up.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Joe, of course, if you're wondering where he is, he's never in the show, but we just he's enjoying his son's first birthday. He's never going to remember, so... he's missing out on all the fun. Yep. All the fun we're having here. Mo's here as well, but he's refusing to go on camera at the moment. So we'll try and get him on as soon as we can. When we get a few more inside him, maybe he'll come on The Big Show. So tune back in for that.
And beer.
Muller's... he's done beer, yeah, that's right. We've got some wine for him, ready to go. He's a big wine drinker. I mean, as he drinks a lot of wine. No, I'm not going to qualify that because he'll only get me in trouble. Muller, you're here in a Birmingham City shirt. You're not allowed to come in here in a partisan shirt.
Well, I thought I'd just wind Joe up.
I don't care. It's a shame that Doc's not turned in, because he's a Manchester City supporter who lives in Hawaii. He's never been
Man
to the
United.
Ground. Man United, even.
Yeah. He'd probably kill you now if he.
Well, he's 10,000 miles away. Like
Man City haven't got any fans, have they?
I'm not scared of many people, and I'm certainly not scared of 10 many people that are 10,000 miles away.
Yeah.
Wearing a blue shirt. Now, I've got three blue noses in the room.
Yeah, keep right on.
Look at them. I wish I knew more about football now. I've got three fans in the same league into me.
Yeah. And anyone listening from Birmingham, Alabama, Bama, is it Hammer Down?
Hammer Down, yeah.
Hammer Down.
Hammer Down to our American cousins.
To our American cousins.
What does that mean? Hammer Down is Alabama's what?
They've got a football team and they're mm-hmm. Rico keep right on and they go Hammer Down.
Hammer Down, yeah.
Are you twinned?
Unofficially.
Twitter we are, yeah.
Unofficially.
Right, okay.
They're a brand new team. They've only played a couple of games, haven't they?
I only loosely know the demographic of the Mac Show, but I guarantee they're all asleep at the moment.
The only problem with Alabama is that they have we play at Aston Villa and it's like 2 miles away. Their local derby's 400 miles away.
Oh, mate, I went and saw a friend in Houston, and we got up one morning at 5:30 to go and play a golf course called the Houstonian. He lived in Kingwood in Houston, and he said, "We're getting in the car." We drove 70 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? He said, we're driving 70 miles to play a golf course called the Houstonian, and we started in Houston. And it, okay.
Yep.
It's a long way. joining us, talking of America and large expanses, that's come out wrong. as in it's a big country, and the climate in Boulder is different from everywhere else, and we're not doing the Boulder Weather Report. Jeffrey, how the devil are you?
I'm doing well.
Better than me.
And my large expanses are doing well too.
Well, that's because you don't wear trousers during the podcast.
That's right.
Now then, we've got to change. We're not doing Boulder Weather Report today. We're doing Boulder Coronavirus Report.
Well, the Boulder Coronavirus Report for today is good luck finding toilet paper, paper towels, and ibuprofen. Also, we have two cases in Colorado now.
Cool.
That are apparently confirmed, and two more where they're waiting for confirmation.
So, but the thing that's that interests me is that the Boulder intelligentsia think that coronavirus gives you the shits, obviously.
Clearly. And that it'll mess up all of your countertops.
Oh, so it's not just the toilet paper, it's gone, the kitchen roll's gone as well.
Yes.
Man. Yep.
And ibuprofen.
And okay. Hand sanitizer.
ibuprofen.
Oh, yeah, hand sanitizer. You haven't been able to get that in Boulder for about 2 weeks now.
Didn't the American Surgeon General say this week that there's a real dilemma because people are buying face masks off online and there's no face masks for the surgeons who are doing surgery who really need them?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh. Are you well, though?
I am well.
You don't leave the house anyway, though, do you?
Oh, well, I'm well for now.
Unless it's communicable through bears and other forest animals that are next to your house, you're not going to get it, are you?
Maybe I shouldn't be going outside quite as much as I am.
Okay, don't do that, mate. Just live your life.
All right.
Next to him, Patrice.
Hi.
Distinctly.
We actually have our first case of coronavirus here as well. So.
Now that's worrying because you're cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
The cold climate seems to be doing quite well with it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing it's because people just stay inside and everything. But, well, it's like an older gentleman in like the other side of the river. So it's not.
This is the thing with the coronavirus, right? Is you've got to be so careful how you mention about the fact that the at-risk group is the older folk. Because if you say it wrong, it sounds like it means that they don't matter.
No,
it's not the case.
That's something that has actually like annoyed me a little bit in all the like reporting. Like it matters. Like even if I get sick, and even if like nothing happens to me, but I could infect someone who gets sick and dies. So that's not good.
No, it's not good. No, I've got two parents who are both in their late 80s, so it's a definite risk. How's the house move? You haven't tidied up much, have you?
It's kind of haven't had much time now. Everything is kind of, unpacked as far as I can.
No, I can see it's unpacked.
You can see all the cables that are unpacked. That's true, yeah. No, I'm slowly installing stuff, set up my Philips Hue stuff and HomePods and all of that, and that stuff behind me is still like Philips Hue, basically.
You know I'm doing this for your own good, right? I'm shaming you into tidying up just for your own good. your mental state will be better, and you'll thank me afterwards.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, definitely. No, you won't. He's got a doll that he sticks pins in. He stole some hair when he came to the big shit.
What? Yep.
Am I not allowed to say that?
Yep.
No, he has. Patrice came to the bash and he stole some of my hair. He's got a doll and he sticks pins in it periodically. Mm-hmm. Especially when I disagree with him over Picard.
Oh, yeah.
He made it out of a Guinness can.
He made the doll out of a Guinness can. There's probably less Guinness in the Guinness can than there is in me. Welcome out, as always. And a welcome return to the smartest man in podcasting, who's decided it's a dress down day because it's Friday, Chuck Joyner.
Ewan, it's good to see you guys. Thanks so much for having me back.
We miss you so much.
I missed you guys. I missed you guys. This is always just way too much fun.
Everyone else on here talks rubbish apart from you.
All right. Thanks.
Yep.
I have too much respect for the panel. Ewan.
Mo's just reminded me I shouldn't alienate the rest of the panel at the start of the show. Yeah, good. Wise words, mate. Wise words. What you been up to? You've been working.
Been working. Yeah, just unfortunately the scheduling hasn't worked out. It seems like there have been Friday meetings and that kind of cuts me out here, but I'm delighted to be back now. And I'm happy to report that as of 7 a.m. my time, there is no coronavirus in Pennsylvania. So we're doing good.
Excellent, mate. It's good to know. Yeah, I don't want to joke about it because it's serious, but because the mortality rate's high on it and it's not good for the old folks. So But we can't, I'd like to say that we were going to have a coronavirus-free show here, but we can't because it's all that's kind of dominated the news in general, really. First thing is questions about WWDC. And there was a good point made by CJ in the chat room because someone said, oh, is WWDC cancelled? And he went, well, they haven't announced it yet, so how's it going to be cancelled, you muppet? Mm-hmm. And they're good point. I know we all know it's going to happen, but they do announce it, don't they?
Yep.
But the county of Santa Clara has said to Apple, Google, and a load of others, please cancel all large in-person meetings and conferences for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and I mean, Facebook already cancelled.
Yeah, F8 went, didn't
theirs,
it?
And I think Google I.O., if I remember correctly, was also cancelled.
Is that gone?
I think that was like yesterday or something, they cancelled that one. So it's basically everything that's happening around the same time as WWDC is already cancelled, so... Yeah, I wouldn't expect anything from Apple. Like, I think they're literally just like preparing and figuring out an alternative plan, and then they're going to announce it. Which, I mean, there's no rush now. Like, if they're going to cancel it, I mean, they have to tell people that they're canceling it, so nobody books any flights or hotels or anything. I mean, if they haven't already. But other than that, there's no rush. I mean, Like, if nobody's coming, then they can literally tell us, I don't know, the week before what's going to happen.
I think the problem that you've got is as we were just saying earlier on, the risk of contamination is high, but the risk of death is quite low for you. Mm. You know, so for the millennials that are going to be going to events like that, there is a fairly low risk of dying, but it's the, who they pass it on to in that 2 weeks afterwards that's a key part of it. Belgium shut down, hasn't it? Has Belgium stopped for 2 weeks, isn't it?
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, Belgium's decided to shut the borders, and that's it. 2 weeks. We'll see you all in 3 weeks. Get yourself a good book.
Yeah.
I mean, the Belgians are pretty boring to start with, so that'll be easy for them, won't it?
They got good beer, so I think they should be good.
No, that's a standard joke in France, that the Belgians are boring. I'm not. Okay, fair enough. I'll move on.
No, I mean, it's like, I mean, as you said, it's the people that get infected. And then, I mean, even from millennials, you never know. Like it's not just older people or sick people. It could also, like, it could affect everybody. You might just have a, like, bad luck, like a complication that comes up, like pneumonia or something. That doesn't go away. Yeah. Like, it's possible.
Viral pneumonia is not good.
Yeah. It's less likely, but like, it can still happen. So, like, why take the risk?
Well, I know this isn't an Apple thing, but FIBO's been cancelled because my landlord was going to FIBO. They make Magic Man's just put in the chat room, is BTM popular in Belgium? Don't think so. I wouldn't have made the joke otherwise.
Not anymore.
Our two listeners have just left. The FIBO's been gone because my landlord makes gym equipment, and they cancelled that pretty early. So everything's disappeared. The thing that you've got, there was a great comment actually made yesterday by a guy that's an insurer at a meeting that me and Mo were at, where he said, you've got to be really careful as far as, like, because he's had people come to him and go, insurance is going to pay out, right? And he's like, no, because you chose not to go to places. Mm-hmm. So if you've got scheduled business meetings, you've got to go, otherwise you're not going to get insured back on them, and you probably find the airline will duck away from it as well. Cancellation of an event, that might be a bit different. We could have done with Matt on, really, couldn't we, to have clarified this, but cancellation of event might be different. But there's a good chance that you're going to lose money as well. It's a pretty serious issue. The other thing I was thinking as well was, if you're talking about Apple and WWDC, one of the things that they tend to do is say, and this will be available in the fall, this will be available in November, this will be available in September, and so on. And outside of software, hardware would really be hit hard by the current coronavirus outbreaks.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, Callum, have you got any issues with supply or anything yet from
spare components? Mentioned it on a couple of shows ago. You know, for us, kind of prices are going up, and it is getting harder to...
And that's because of a shortage of supply and demand.
Yeah, it is. And it is becoming harder to get things. So we kind of brought quite a bit of stock in advance, because we were aware of the coronavirus and the way it may go. And even then, there were things we couldn't get, and that was 3-4 weeks ago. So
this started pretty early then?
Oh, yeah, because obviously a lot of the stuff we get, even if we get it from a supplier in the UK, does come through China at some stage. So it was obviously, because it started there, they're a lot further ahead with it. It is becoming quite difficult to get hold of things.
Yeah. No, I think what's the thought process? Is WWDC kind of definitely not going to happen, or?
Yeah, I think so. Like, it's simply,
Jeff's tried twice now, go on.
Yeah, that's all right. Okay, I think WWDC is happening, but it will happen as a remote event. So the sessions will all be live streamed, and that's how they're going to do it this year. I have a thought to go along with that. All of these organizations being told, hey, cancel your big events, cancel your big conferences that are going to be in our area. That's going to have a huge impact on the local businesses that rely on those conferences to be coming through every year. That's going to be a lot of lost revenue.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and Jeff, I kind of agree with you. I think if there is anything that is WWDC oriented, it probably will be online. But at the end of the day, you know, we are still a couple months out. And so depending on, you know, whether you booked your hotel or booked your flight, you know, you may want to check the cancellation policies. But, you know, I think Apple's going to do what it wants to do. I think it's obviously going to do what is socially responsible, but I'm just not convinced that they're going to pull the plug just yet. I mean, this is March, and that's, at least in theory, June. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the typical announcement date? When did it's only a month, year, right?
Isn't it in April when they make the announcement?
Last year they made it March 14th, and I think the year before.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah, last week I said it was February, but actually it was March. Yeah, but the issue is, like, people have to start planning and booking, especially if you're coming. I mean, for people in, like California and whatever, Arizona, like, close by, it's probably not a big deal. But if you're coming from, like, far away, and, like, I mean, we've heard the last couple of years that Apple has a lot of people from, like, I think close to 100 countries coming every year. You have to make plans, and you have to, like, book everything and get visas and all of that. So Apple can't announce it too close to the event. Simply not going to work out for the people. So what they don't want is that people book tickets or whatever and then can't come, or, like, there's no need to come because the event is canceled. So I think they're right now, they're just, like, waiting and seeing, but I would expect within the next week or two there's going to be an announcement of what the plan is. Either they're going to say no, we're not doing it, stay tuned, we're going to do something else, or they're even going to announce the full plan.
I think that's an interesting point there as well, wrapped up in what you just said, Patrice, about the rest of the world's perceptions about America, because it's, you know, people that have got a 4-hour drive, it won't be a problem, because in America a 4-hour drive is a commute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And whereas in a 4-hour drive in here, we're in Scotland.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a completely different country.
Yeah. And you, and one thing I wonder, you mentioned the insurance part, right? You chose not to go, even though depending on the insurance, if you buy travel insurance, it may not cover it anyway, whether you decide not to go or not, because most of them are written so that they don't cover quote unquote epidemics. And so, you know, if you're thinking about relying on travel insurance, please be careful. Check what it says.
Small print. Good question here from Deepan. If Apple successfully run WDC as a stream and remote in, could that mean that they might stick to that as the format and it becomes a cheaper standard model? The way the world works could change massively because of coronavirus, because people find solutions to the problem that seem to cut costs, work, produce, you know, increase productivity, et cetera. There could be a real precedent set here, couldn't there?
I mean, they kind of already have that. I think, like, feeling-wise, from, like, simply, like, being on the ground and seeing how the employees, how Apple behaves, I think they like having that. They like having the people there. They like having that personal interaction with everybody that, like... I mean, remember, it's not just a conference. Like, they do a lot surrounding it. Like, they have the bash.
The workshops,
they have a lot that they do. And I think Apple simply likes doing it. And I think that's why they're going to keep doing it. What I could definitely see is that they... I mean, the big issue with like, in the last couple of years, or, like, probably almost 10 years by now, has been that very few people can actually go. I mean, that's the whole reason why they do a lottery. Because, I mean, out of, I don't know, 25,000, 50,000, I don't know how many, probably even more, like hundreds of thousands of developers, only like a very small percentage can go, like a fraction of a percent probably, for like financial reasons, for simply getting a ticket reasons, like for many reasons. And I think if they can find a way, and maybe that's the chance to do something that gives others the chance to participate, even if they can't come to San Jose, even if they can't be there, I think that would be worth it.
Yeah, I think there is an awful lot that comes from it. They do rely on the keynote, don't they, of being like the whoop, whoop, whoop event, so it's good for that. But the workshops and the vibe around it, South by Southwest, of course, that's another one that's up for grabs, isn't it? That's has that confirmed yet or not?
I think that one was cancelled. Wasn't that today?
Is it cancelled? Oh, right, okay.
That's not if it's flat out cancelled, that's news.
Yeah, no, South by Southwest and Apple were talking about doing Apple TV content there, and that could be massive.
Yeah, and that's not happening because Apple's not going.
Oh, so Apple have pulled out.
Apple pulled out.
Okay.
But
Amazon and Google pull out too? A couple other majors pull out.
Right, we need someone on who's got access to the internet. And is it switching stuff?
I am checking isitcancelledyet.com.
Don't tell me that's the site.
Seriously.
Jesus.
That's a website. Google I.O., yes. South by Southwest, no, at least as when this was updated last. Microsoft Build, no. Queen and Adam Lambert concert, uh-oh. So that's possibly getting canceled. WWDC, no as of yet. 2020 Olympics, no as of yet. TED conference is uh-oh.
To be fair, that's going to be shit because Freddie Mercury's not going to be there.
Coachella, sadly, no. E3, uh-oh. Google Reader, yes. PAX West, no. Seattle Comic Con has not been canceled.
Okay.
That's really surprising.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego Comic Con, not canceled. Well, Microsoft Ignite is in the uh-oh category. Adobe Summit has been canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook F8, Mobile World Congress, Handshake. Oh, what else has been canceled? Handshakes, yes. Hugs, uh-oh. Fist bumps, no.
foot taps, isn't it?
No, elbow bashes.
Foot taps.
Elbow bashes and foot taps are in.
Jeff, is NAB on that list?
You broke out for me.
Mobile World Congress?
NAB.
Oh, NAB, sorry, yeah.
NAB, not canceled.
Okay, right. Let's hope.
I think that's still far enough away that they're going to wait, probably.
I've got to say, the conspiracy theorists are out in force, because I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was saying that someone wrote a book 10 years ago saying that in Wuhan province there was going to be a virus that would leak out and it would kill loads of people, but it would go as fast as it came. And okay, that's cool. Yeah, what's the name of the book, mate? I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not too hard to write something like that. Like most major viruses have come out of the Asian, like China or like Southeast Asian region, especially in the last like 20, 30 years.
Well, Contagion was kind of a similar thing, wasn't it, with that?
So it's not hard to predict that.
HBO's gone, says Deep Pan from South by Southwest. Amazon, Apple, mm-hmm. Facebook, Twitter, Netflix. All the same to do with coronavirus concerns.
I'm pretty sure South by Southwest is going to get canceled. Simply too many. Like, I mean, the same that happened with Mobile World Congress, where too many big players pulled out, and then it was simply like, okay, what's the point?
Jeff's source is itcancelledyet.com. You need to remember there's only one L in canceled. What, American can spell canceled? That's not fair. When did that?
The other one was probably taken.
Oh, I'm gonna put the L in now and see if it's a real site, and I'll probably find it something for like erectile dysfunction. No, it's already been taken. That's why it's only got one L. Because is it cancelled yet? Is life in the age of coronavirus update calendar of events? So there's two L's in it, but you can go to one on the one L as well. That's really weird, and they're two completely different sites.
I'm sure they both cover all events.
I was with a girl whose partner works in exhibitions, Lisa, on Wednesday, and she was saying that a lot of exhibitions are moved, so that they've looked in the calendar, because September's kind of a fallow period for exhibitions. So stuff that's in June, they've gone out, we've pushed it back to December, to September. And people are going, oh, can I have my money back? And no, because we've moved it to September, you can still come in September. And there's an awful lot of moving taking place with all of this. So
You've missed one event.
Which is also risky. I mean, at this point, we simply don't know how it's going
to
go.
Well, apparently, like, according to the book, it's going to go.
You've missed one big event that's not going ahead.
What's that?
It's James Bond. They pushed the date back to October or November.
Yeah. November.
That's because they've screwed up the edit.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing.
Yeah. A good day for bad news, isn't it?
Yeah, that's probably one time where they were very happy that something bad's happening and they could just cover.
Excuse me. Deep Pan says there's something on the news about marathons being cancelled. And the insurance companies have said they'll only refund if it's cancelled by the host nation's government.
Yeah. You talking about insurance earlier as well, that's a big thing about why insurers aren't paying out as well, because the government haven't said it isn't safe to travel yet.
So. I think they're not paying out because they're bastards.
That too.
If Matt's watching, because I know he was watching to try and hope you embarrass yourself on camera, Mo. I'm only saying that. I'm not. Matt's a broker. He's not an insurer. There we go.
You know that I work in the insurance industry, right?
Yeah.
Shit, this is awkward.
I was waiting to see if that might.
So Chuck, are you, just to dig down here, are you an insurer or are you a broker?
I work for an agency group, so no, I'm not an insurer.
That good lad. You see, no, I'll stick to my original statement.
We'll roll with it.
Join us, the man who tries to save you from the bastards.
Exactly.
And Chuck can't comment because he's. Oh man, this is getting worse.
Just watching you
Italy
dig
is
a
doing
hole.
Something very interesting.
Day. I can't talk about. I've already pissed off the Belgians. I'm not losing all the both of the Italian listeners.
It's actually very interesting. They're in some regions they're closing everything, like all stores for the entire weekend. So I mean, there was a news story about like all stores closing and whatever. But.
So if you want to buy something in Italy, you've got to buy it during the week because it's going to be closed at the weekend. I don't get that.
You know, Ewan, I'm so glad you said that because I don't get that either. You know, we're going to close for a day or two.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the difference? I mean, if you're going to disinfect the store, maybe, but, you know.
Yeah. Do you guys remember BSE scandal in the UK? So my cousin's wife was in the supermarket and the trolley in front of her, the person there had loads and loads of beef. And she was buying it and she said to her, "Why are you buying all the beef? It's the BSE thing at the moment." She said, "I'm buying it, I'm going to freeze it, and then I'll eat it when it's safe."
Safety first there with that.
Natural selection at work. Not that there was any risk, but...
No.
Oh, dear. You can't argue with logic like that.
Nope.
Do any of you guys remember Spanish flu? Jesus Christ, Muller. I'm old, but I'm not that old. Since 1920.
Yep.
Magic Man's put something in that if you're insurer, you need to go to britishdebtnetwork.com/chat and then work out how to sue him because I can't read that out. There's no way I can read that out.
Well, as long as we're talking about old flu epidemics, here's an interesting bit of trivia for you.
This week in old flu epidemics. Go on.
This is a piece of information that will do you absolutely no good at probably at any point in your life. The 1918 flu epidemic that was absolutely devastating around the world. There's one town in Colorado where they had absolutely no cases of flu at all.
Is that because everyone was married to their sister?
That would be Utah. But what they did was they built a barricade completely around the entire town. And they allowed no one in and no one out.
Is that called the Rocky Mountains? The Rocky Mountains is the largest man-made feature from space.
No, Ewan, they just put bears on all the lampposts.
Jeff, we're messing up a really good story. I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
No, that's all right, because I'm enjoying where you've been taking this. So anyhow, the town built a fence or some sort of barricade completely around the town. No one allowed in, no one allowed out, and they stayed barricaded for weeks. Then the flu passed through the area. And no one in this one town got sick at all. There you go.
I'm kind of
useless bit of flu trivia.
I'm kind of feeling there's a bit of war between Mexico and America type mentality in there.
Is that where Donald Trump comes from?
Exactly. That was my thinking. Is that where he got his idea from?
My guess is that no, he didn't get it from there because that would have involved actually doing some research.
That was just so you know, like most people drop the mic, Jeff has a swig of tea because he knows he hasn't got to say anything else. It's done. Mike's
That's right. And this is an expensive mic. I really don't want to drop it.
Anyway, I owe Jeff $5 for that segue because I was sitting thinking, right, when I read this story, did everyone at Apple, because you know that great man Tim Apple?
Yeah, Tim Apple.
Right. Yeah. I bet every board meeting that's been at Apple has been like, right, okay, that's all the serious business now. What can we do that pisses off Trump? Right. and I reckon the reason that Apple Pay's coming to Mexico is just for that very purpose.
Mm-hmm.
What would really...
No, you know why? So they can pay for the wall.
So they're going to take the tax off Tim Apple to pay for the wall for the Mexicans?
Yep.
Oh, right, okay. I hadn't thought of it from that angle, I have to say, Patrice.
Maybe they've been working with
more... And it'll prevent coronavirus.
Oh, yes.
Oh, right, yeah, build a wall around America.
Yeah, yes.
Per Jeff's story. Now, that's just brilliant.
Well,
awesome.
To be fair, you did that after 9/11 with the thing about the pre-visa stuff. Is it Etsa? No? No, Etsy's where you buy shit, isn't it?
But Esther, yeah.
Esther, yeah.
Yeah.
Magic Man's put, no, my granddad told me about it, Muller, but I'm really worried about what Muller's put in the chat room beforehand that Magic Man's clarifying about his granddad, because that could be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Was the town Trump Town, says Bob Beach. Oh, that's... Now, if you're English, you get Trumpton. That's... Yeah. Was it Trumpton?
All right. Now I have to go do a Google search.
Oh, yeah. Pew, pew, by the grew, Cuthbert Dibble Grub.
Don't look at Windy Miller.
To be fair, if you paid him, he allowed you.
Or Cuthbert Gribble or...
Pew, pew, Barley McGrew, Cuthbert Dibble Grub.
Grub.
Okay. Trumpton. There was no town, was there? Was the town or was it Tom? It was town.
Trumpton was the town.
Trumptown, yeah.
They had Windy Miller, that was one, and they had the spin-off with the fire engine.
But Deep Pan says, if you want to pass through the wall, does that mean they'll take Apple Pay? Was that what the story's about? No, I don't think so. No. Don't say oh really to anything I say today, Patrice. It's probably bollocks.
Well, everything can be bought.
I like this story. I'm going to do it because I like the story. I don't think there's going to be a massive discussion over it, but I do like it. Apple have allocated $150 million to building affordable housing in California Bay Area. I think that's brilliant. One of the things that I noticed at Macworld when I came out in 2014 was the number of homeless people. And I made a joke. I didn't make a joke about it, but I made a comment about it at during our Mac show at WWDC. And Paul Wheatley said, yeah, that's really affected you, hasn't it? And I was like, yeah, it has actually, because I was just shocked at how many people were homeless on the street in San Francisco. I've got to say, if Apple have done this, or Apple are doing this, that's a really, really good thing. And I hope they get some of the people that are out there on the streets that are not sorted out and get them into this stuff.
Well, I mean, to some extent, it's Apple's own people. Like, I mean, despite the fact that Apple is probably paying rather well, we've heard a lot of stories from people that are living in like small apartments or like trailers or like on the streets and work at Apple, like work a full-time job at Apple.
So you think this is Apple's accommodation for employees program?
I don't think they're doing it just for the employees, but it's certainly going to benefit them as well. Like, I think it's, I mean, I think it is ultimately like it's the same, like two different sides of the same coin. Like, on one hand, Apple has probably issues attracting people. I mean, I know plenty of people that don't want to, I mean, they'd want to work for Apple, but don't want to move to California anymore because you're saying, I mean, this is ridiculous. And that is probably limiting the talent that they can get there. And on the other hand, I think Apple probably feels this is a social issue that they want to do something about. So is that, like, it's kind of both.
Yeah, it's interesting. Apparently, in total, Apple have pledged $1 billion.
Wow. 2.5, I think.
Yeah, Apple has pledged $1 billion in affordable housing investments, $1 billion in mortgage assistance for the first-time mm-hmm. buyers, and $300 million worth of Apple-owned land for affordable housing projects. Don't laugh at some crap joke that he's made. Oh, $1 billion with the finger. Yeah, thanks, Muller. Well, you've had your hair cut, so you fitted the bald mark. property prices in California, especially the Bay Area, where Apple operates, have rocketed in recent years, and it's one of the most expensive places to live in the universe. Oh, sorry, yeah. United States, my mistake.
Maybe in the universe as well.
Yeah.
They could well be.
No, it's ridiculous. Like, I know plenty of people that moved to Arizona because of it, or to Texas.
What, you?
No, not me. But like, we hired people at our company in Phoenix that like came from California, and they moved because of the ridiculous prices there. They were like, I can get so much more. I mean, I basically make the same here, and I get more for it.
Hmm. Yeah. No. Good. That's true. Way more. Actually, that's not been a European thing for a while, has it? You mm-hmm. went to America because you got more for your money than you did in Europe, but that's changing. Yep. Certainly on the West Coast, anyway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's Boulder like and Pennsylvania like for house prices, guys?
Boulder's ridiculous. You need to be very wealthy to buy a house in Boulder.
Which is why you're sat in an apartment with no trousers on.
Yes. And even rental is surprisingly expensive here. Where my apartment is, it's in the middle of downtown, which means that the rent on my apartment should probably be at least $3,500 a month.
Jesus.
And but I'm not paying that because the company that owns these units, they have a business mission to make sure that there's affordable rental properties in downtown Boulder.
That's great, because I thought you were going to say you were shagging the landlady.
Well, yeah, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
That's a great Jeff comeback. That's one of the great Jeff comebacks. I think we've got a show title.
Yeah. If you bought a house, let's say a ranch style house in Boulder in the 1990s, that would have been $600,000 for the house. You can't afford to sell your house now because you can't buy another property in Boulder. It would be too expensive. So if you're selling a house in Boulder, it's because you're actually leaving the area and taking the money to a less expensive area.
There's a great point, and I'm really upset that he's not been on microphone today, because although it's the only thing he said of any value, no, I'm a Brummie through and through, and I should have picked this up, but yeah. Mo's just said, isn't this what Cadbury's did 200 years ago?
Yeah, well, no,
so no more, because they were 17 somethings, weren't they? 18 somethings, 200 years then. Yeah. I think I said 200 to start with, anyway, but yeah, no. So they created Bourneville, which was a Quaker town here in the UK, and they built accommodation which was decent and affordable for the workers of the factory. And there's still no licensed pubs in Bourneville, is there?
Yeah.
There's still no licensed pub because it's anti-Quaker. The best you can get is an awful. If you want to know about Quakers, here's your man. I'm not saying you're a Quaker, but it's Pennsylvania is your region of the world for Quakers, is it not, Chuck?
Well, sort of, Ewan. I mean, yeah, the Quakers founded Pennsylvania, but where I live, we have a lot more of an Amish population. But, you know, there is some of that.
Is there a big difference there? Because I would have said that was the same. I need to be educated here. Is Amish and Quaker very different?
Oh, my understanding, I mean, I'm not either. So, but my understanding is, yeah, that the Quakers were they were very, very, very restrictive. The Amish are restrictive to some degree, but we can interact with the Amish. Boy, this sounds terrible, but you can interact with the Amish without any trouble. The Quakers, my impression always was that, you know, they were very standoffish, very, very super strict in everything.
Where does Plymouth Brethren fit into that as well? Are they Quaker based? I don't know. I'm not talking. I'm talking rubbish. That's normal.
The Amish? I don't know. I don't know.
We need to look at Plymouth Brethren.
Because there's Amish, there's German Baptist. There, you know, a lot of the very restrictive lifestyles or religions that, you know, for example, like the Amish, they can they have the buggies. You know, they can't have phones in their homes, but they can have a phone on a pole outside, so they can go outside to use the phone.
Now you say that, Chuck. When you qualified, you weren't Amish or Quaker. I looked at the tech in the background and kind of thought, that's pretty obvious. you've got more tech behind you than's in Best Buy.
Yeah, it's, but you know, and to answer your earlier question, now I'm just outside of Harrisburg, which is the state capital, not a very metropolitan area. You go to Philadelphia, you go to Pittsburgh, the prices are probably heading toward Jeff's pricing, or give or take. Here it's a lot, not rural, but it's the business of this city is principally the government. And so, and that's it. There's not a lot of heavy industry here. So we have a pretty good cost of living here.
Excellent. Yeah, good. His public service announcement is the next story. Apple has rejected all coronavirus apps that are not issued from a health organization or a government organization.
Good.
That sounds sensible.
Good. Very good.
Good.
Yeah, seems like a smart move.
So Mo and I, we were at a thing yesterday. And there's quite a few stories have come out from this. But the guy that makes applications that was at the meeting stood up and he said, so here's the kind of thing that we do. So let's suppose you wanted an application that would check whether you had coronavirus or not. We could scan your face and it would say you did or you didn't have it. And then he went, obviously, this is not a real application, but this is the kind of thing we can make. And I thought to myself then, I bet you the App Store is riddled with these. So I'm so chuffed that Apple has got an actual stance on this and gone, nah, sorry, mate. You're mentioning coronavirus. You'd better have the creds behind it. Otherwise, you can sling your hook. Well done, Apple. Mm-hmm. Affordable housing and getting rid of the crooks. Now, the next story I need enlightenment on because I am not sure what the significance of this is. Digitimes has said Apple is going to launch a 12.9-inch iPad Pro and MacBooks with mini LED displays by the end of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
What's the significance of the mini LED?
So basically, the mini LEDs are basically you can turn off certain sections of your LEDs of the backlight. That's basically what it's doing. So I think TVs already have it, like at least the newer, sometimes it's called nano LED and all of that. But it's the same idea. You can basically turn off LEDs in certain sections so that the contrast ratio is higher.
Okay.
And also, as I understand it, the overall lighting is more even, so they're not as everything burns down, you don't have the hot and cold spots on the screen. That, you know, it's just a much more uniform thing.
Do you think that'll affect the pricing of the device? Do you think it'll go up quite a bit, or do you think it'll kind of stay where it is? Or
I'm pretty sure it's going to stay where it is. Like, it's not that much more. I mean, we've gone to OLEDs on like iPhones and so on, which I mean made it more expensive. But it's because OLEDs are simply way more expensive. But this is still kind of the same technology. It's still backlighting. It's just an advanced version of it, and I'm pretty sure Apple can do that. Like, especially at scale, they can do that pretty cheaply.
Okay. When are these due for release?
The report says 2020.
So,
like late 2020, like 2020, 2021.
Yeah, it's only a rumor, isn't it?
Yeah. But I mean, it makes sense. As I said, like, TVs have had it for a while. It's a technology that has been around. It actually works pretty well. It just makes sense. I mean, if you're not going full on OLEDs, which at the for iMacs and MacBooks, I think it's just too expensive still for the screen sizes as well. It makes sense. It's the next evolutionary step.
Sounds like a natural progression. It sounds like a natural progression.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Patrice. Yeah. That was good. Every day's a school day. Last story then, there's a suggestion that there's new iMacs and new iMac minis coming imminently.
Well, I was quite, can ship them.
Well, yeah, I was quite excited about this though, because the thing is, I mean, there's been quite, it's definitely discussion worthy, is the fact that the new Mac Pro is so far ahead of what most people would want, that people like me I can do a bit of 1080, a lot of 1080 and a little bit of 4K video production, but I don't tax what I've currently got. And Rob, GB Redneck, in our Slack room, he bought one of the new Mac Minis and tricked it out to the full capacity. It cost him $2,500. And he was suggesting that the specs were better than the Mac Pro that he had, which is similar to mine. So the fact that they're coming out with a new Mac Mini, I'm actually quite excited about that, because I was sitting looking at my Mac Mini and going, my Mac Pro rather, and thinking, you know, God, if that craps out and I got to buy a new one, I can't afford the new one. That's just way ahead. I might be going to Windows. I might be doing James Rickards and going into Windows.
If it does crap out, where do you go?
Oh, mate. It's I'm in Macs, of course. Of course.
Use it as a little bin, though.
But the thing is, the Mac Mini, I think the Mac Mini is becoming one of the more relevant lines within Apple because of the cost and because of the fact you can add to the spec.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think there's a real... The Mac Mini was always the throwaway Mac before, and I think now it's becoming the essential Mac for desktop.
And also, with the way Apple are, and for kind of high-end users, if you are buying a Mac Pro, for example, yours isn't too upgradable, a Mac Mini, although the RAM's sold to the logic board, you can still change the drives in them, and you can have drives in them as well, which is quite a big
thing. Can you stick two in the new ones or in the old ones, the ones that we're running, can you stick two drives in those still?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I mean, the cool thing about the newer Mac Minis is they have six, I mean, the ones that they currently sell, they have six Thunderbolt ports, Thunderbolt 3. So you can do things like an external eGPU, like an external RAID system, like whatever you need. Like you can run that off those Thunderbolt port. So, I mean, I think the Mac Mini is like underestimated. There was like on the MacCast, I want to say, there was a discussion about that. And I think most people, I mean, including me, I was looking at Macs, and I didn't think about the Mac Mini until I realized that an eGPU might actually be a good option for what we would need. I think it's good, and I think it's good that they're updating it because it has been almost 2 years now.
Don't laugh at me, but I've got an Atomos screen which does 4K, and it's 8 inches across, and I'm sitting thinking, instead of a laptop, I just take a Mac Mini with me, because nearly everywhere I go, I've got power anyway. I'm not looking for battery. I take a Mac Mini with me, and I take my little Atomos screen, and okay, it's going to be kind of hard to do anything that's really tiny, but you could do basic stuff. You can certainly do the email and that kind of stuff. It's a stupid suggestion, don't get me wrong, but it's like the Mac Mini is now becoming more of a portable device. I could take it to a customer's site and plug in one of their monitors and work for the day with a lot of power.
Or like if you're at the hotel room, like if they have a TV, I mean, hopefully they have an HDMI port, like just plug that in.
I think, as you say, going on the versatility note, it's, you know, because it can work with, you know, third-party screens, third-party peripherals generally, they are more and more coming into their own, I think. And as you said, they were a bit of a throwaway item on it. I remember about 3-4 years ago, they were on about getting rid of them completely, if I remember. But they have really started to come into their own, and more people are using them.
And you think about carryable weight and dimension as well compared to a 16-inch laptop. They're compact. They're going to fit transverse in a bag as opposed to longitudinally in a bag. So that'll take, there's a lot of positives there.
The only thing is, I mean, you need a keyboard, but like, I mean, take one of the wireless keyboards and trackpads or a mouse.
Just imagine if iOS had a functionality for an Apple keyboard on a Mac Mini. How good would that? That would set it vertical in terms of like, if you went to conferences and presentations and that kind of stuff, that makes that such a great device. I should be working for Apple.
A keyboard with a trackpad attached.
Yeah.
So let me play devil's advocate here for a minute.
Sorry, hang on a second. Go on, Chuck.
Yeah, just to play devil's advocate for a second. The Mini, I think, is great for everybody on this show and, you know, and the people that want to do the upgrades and don't mind getting their fingernails dirty a little bit. But is that really something that's going to have mass appeal? Do you see the normal people out there carrying a Mac Mini around?
No,
going to the trouble and having the knowledge and to plug it in and know what's going to work once they get wherever they're going.
That, I'm going to say hell no. But no.
Okay.
Well, so let me give you an example. So I had a MacBook Pro, and it crapped out, and I was in the joint venture program at the time, so it's a while back, and I had to give it to Covent Garden because I was in London when it crapped out. And the following day, I was going back down to London, and I took the Trashcan Mac Pro, and I got a bag that's a large bag that had a central compartment for a super long lens for a camera, and I put the Mac Pro in that, and it fitted perfectly, and it was really well supported. Shoved in a couple of leads for power supply and that kind of stuff, and external drives, and a mouse, and a keyboard. Shoved it on my back, and I carried it down to London for the day. I got there, I set it up, I got an adapter, I stuck a VGA in, and I used it on a monitor for the company that I was working at that day. It wasn't brilliantly transportable, but it sorted it out, and it got me thinking about, you know, if there was a compact, GPU-heavy and processor-heavy configuration that didn't want to look at all the other stuff that made it into a bulky computer, would that be good? Yeah, it would be good. But at the time, in the technology that was in my head, that wasn't going to happen. But you look now, and you look at what the Mac Mini is in terms of form factor compared to my trash Mac. So my trash can Mac is now underpowered compared to a current Mac Mini tricked out. And that is a very portable form factor. If you're using an exhibition, if you're at a conference, that is a Mac that is worth carrying around and using on the fly.
I think if you're a power user that needs to be portable, then
sorry,
it's perfect.
Sorry, can we do what? Say, Chuck, what would you say?
Yeah, just for that use case, I agree with you completely.
Is it mass? No, I agree. It's not mass.
What I was hearing was something a little more, that you were trying to keep it a little more mainstream.
Well, mainstream tends to leech onto things that work for other people. So someone creates something and then the mainstream leeches onto it. You know, podcasting. Yeah. Someone creates the idea, you know, Adam Curry creates the idea of a podcast, and then the masses just suddenly pile in and it explodes. So if you create something that functions and it works, then people tend to freeload onto it. Go on, Callum, sorry, mate.
No, I think it's just if you're a power user that needs to be portable, that needs to be out on site, but have access to, as you say, a kind of beefy GPU and, you know, to be able to render kind of more high-end stuff, I think it is a kind of perfect thing. You can go there, you plug it into a monitor, as you probably did with your trash can, and it works perfectly.
The one limitation in the like whole use case is the GPU of the Mac Mini isn't great. It's an integrated Intel GPU. So that's a limitation. Yeah. If you need something better than that, then you have to either go with a MacBook Pro or, an iMac Pro or a Mac Pro. What I said, like the other option would be in that case to the boxes aren't actually that big. Carry an eGPU with you. There's one. Mm-hmm. It was like $400, I think, from AMD. That's basically the size of the Mac Mini. So small little, like a second small little box that, takes care of that.
I can't remember who's done this. Hang on. Deep Pan's put a link in the chat room. Intel Nook Mini PC that can run Apple.
Mm-hmm.
For enterprise.
Yep.
Good stuff. Yeah, no, it's, there's... I think the Mac Mini, if there's a new Mac Mini coming, there's only going to be more power, there's only going to be more options for it, or there's only going to be a change in the form factor that makes it even more portable. It can't be a negative. There cannot be a negative. Magic Man's put, tricked out, Mac Mini is $3,000 at the moment.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And which half the price of what I paid for my trash can.
Yeah. And I mean, at this point, it's kind of like, I would wait because it's, as I said, it's two-year-old hardware.
Yeah, I want to wait and see what comes, but I've got to say, I'm sitting using a Mac that's 5 years old, and it's still phenomenal. I mean, it processes video far faster than my Mac Pro still does from 2015.
I mean, I did the podcast last week on a 10-year-old iMac.
Yeah, I mean, that's really a good point, we're into the sponsors advert. But no, seriously, if you've got old Macs, then just spend a bit of time on a bit of external hardware to go into it, you know, some RAM and an SSD, and you're laughing.
Yeah, you really are.
Yeah, extends the life immensely. Yeah. I've got a MacBook down here that's 2010, and it's still brilliant.
Yeah,
still really, really good. The final cut on it's a bit slow.
Yeah,
but then I realised I'd picked the wrong Mac out.
Right.
I'm doing some work and I think, God, this is slow. And then I realize I pulled the wrong Mac up from the... This podcast and all the others are supported by people who look after our network. Now, the one thing that I'm going to say is there's a lot of people listen to this show. We get about 16,000 a week that listen to the Mac show, about 10 to 12,000 that listen to the big show, about 5,000 that listen to the photo show, and around 6 to 8,000 that listen to the daily show on a weekday. Carl Swagger does that from the Philippines. He is perfectly placed because he gets all the news just as California shuts down, rationalize it all, produces a show, and it hits your feed in the UK at 9 a.m. It is absolutely perfect. It is your 5 minutes of tech news from the previous 24 hours that is just perfect. And it's a popular show. There's a lot of people like it. I used to do it. I did it for 3 years in hotel rooms with bed sheets over me and duvets to try and calm the noise down. And it's hard work. Carl does it.
Well, that's another story.
Well, no, it was... I got another story. No. So it's a thankless task. It takes about 3 hours to make that show, from my own experience. We only get to make that show because of donations from listeners. Mm-hmm. So if you donate $5 a month to the network, then you'll keep the show going. We pay Carl to do it. He gets $250 a month to do it. He puts no end of hours into doing it and does it out of the love of it. But it makes a difference to his life because he's in the Philippines. So we need to keep that going. If we can't afford to pay Kyle to do the show, then the show will go away, plain and simple. That's all there is to it. If every listener gave us $5, this would be my full-time job. And it would be his job. And it would be everyone else's job. And we'd be a big network. We don't want that. That's not a problem. Just, if you can, give us a few bucks. There's a subscription thing, britishcentnetwork.com/subscription, and go there, give us $5, $10, or $20 a month, and that money goes to keeping the network running. It doesn't pay for the bash. It doesn't pay for my beer or wine. It just pays for Kyle to do the show, any equipment we need that's specifically related to podcasting. That's it. It doesn't go anywhere else. So if you can, please support us because it makes a world of difference. The other people that support us with removing costs to us, because we don't do this for a living, TSO Hosts, they're brilliant. We wouldn't survive without them. They give us two massive servers that allow us to host all of the shows. If you go back to 2008, there are shows on the network from 2008. The original big show's there. The original Mac show is there. They give us the photo, the video show, and the audio show for all of the podcasts. And you can go right the way back to the show that we did for that Asda listened to and removed all of the sponsorship they were going to give us. Debbie McGee's Five of Spades. You need to listen to that episode, Callum. You're not a true BTN until you've listened to that episode.
I'll make sure I do.
The only reason we can do that is because of TSO. If you want anything for hosting, if you want domain names, if you want servers, VPS, VPN, anything like that, then please go and check them out. If you use the offer code BTN20, you get 20% off your basket. Simple as that. And they will really look after you. They look after us. They remove all of the costs that we would have that would be probably in the regions of, you know, a couple of grand a year for the bandwidth that we consume. So thank you very much to them. Please support them. The biggest support you can give, though, is not necessarily just to buy their service. It is to go on the social medias and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. Just simply doing that. That is all we need from you. And they will stick around and they will look after us and we will stay on the air. If you want us to go off the air, then fine. Don't do a thing. but with this quality entertainment. The other thing is I'm NMax, the people that are here with us. I was expecting an audience to cheer then.
Whoop, whoop.
Mo's on his phone. Oh, right. Sorry, mate. I thought you were sending a text. I'm NMax. They're brilliant. They're here based in Birmingham. They are absolutely stunning. They are the people that fixed my iPhone when I bounced it off the floor. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that's not true. I was holding a tackle bag at rugby and someone ran into me. And there you go. That's what I did with it. I had my keys in my pocket, which didn't help much.
No, it doesn't.
And it put a big dent in it. So there you go. That's my standard screen from Apple that crapped out. Here's the one I currently have, which is pristine and works absolutely perfectly. There we go. Superb. That was done by the bloke opposite, Callum. He sat there. I watched him do it.
With my own fair hand.
With an own fair hand. I watched him do it twice because your supplier sent you a shit screen at the start.
They did.
But they fixed that as well. And that's the other point, is that if you get a repair from them, they give you a 6-month warranty on the repair. So you haven't got to worry. If you're there and it's not working, just call, it's done, it's back, mm-hmm. and the boys will sort it out for you.
Absolutely.
Have we got a machine of the week, Callan?
We do.
Go on.
We have a very nice 27-inch slim iMac from 2013. So that would retail today in the Apple Store for about £1,700. We're selling it for £950. So again, always bargains to be had. If you go over to the website, imamax.com, everything's listed there. Any questions, obviously.
Yeah, so it's anything with an Apple logo you will fix. Anything with an Apple logo you've got resale for as well. Yeah,
absolutely.
And also people can get their data back.
They can, yeah. We offer data recovery. We actually had one in this week. A photographer actually had a 3 terabyte external hard drive.
That's a lot of photos.
That's an awful lot of photos. He said it was his entire portfolio for about God knows how many years.
Did you get him to do 3 places of backup? And
no. Oh. We did manage to get all his data back. So we offer an awful lot of services.
There you go.
Yeah.
So if you have Brown Pants data. Backup mm-hmm. systems, as in, if it fails, you're brown-pantsed, mm-hmm. then see these guys. Mm-hmm. I've got to say, I've had a couple of things fixed by them. Muller's talking about having an SSD in his Mac Mini, and there's quite a few of the listeners have listened as well and had some stuff done. AZ, I'm hoping AZ's going to come down to the studio for the big show because he only lives locally, and he'll talk about them as well. Really good service, and they're touchable. They're right opposite. If you get anything wrong with these guys, you write to me. I go to these boys and say, oi.
Yeah.
And they go, sorry.
Dead not always sorry.
No, you're not always sorry. You don't need to be sorry. Time for the cool thing. This is the best bit of the show. Starting us off then. Muller, have you got a cool thing? You haven't brought one because you're not normally on this show, are you?
Are you putting me under pressure, eh?
Your opinion on Mac we usually overlook.
Yeah, his shirt's the cool thing. Yeah.
His shirt, his Birmingham City football shirt. Oh, dear. Callum, your cool thing.
Yeah, so my cool thing is an app that's new to SetApp called Bartender. I downloaded it last week.
I love Bartender.
Very, very apt for today.
I was going to say appropriate.
Yeah, basically what it does, it cleans up your bar on the top, so you can basically pick what you want to have in there. Do you want your battery? Do you want your time or any specific apps? And then you press a button and everything else pops up. It's really simple, but it just keeps everything neat and tidy. I'm just looking at Muller. He could probably do with it, but there you go.
I think that was a slap. But the thing is, right, Bartender was picked when it first was released on here. I'm going to say it was by Doc, but it might have been by Chuck. But it was a great app, and SetApp is just so good. Every month there is something cool that makes your $9 well worth it.
Muller's installing it. I've won.
Good lad. I like that. No, brilliant app. Well done. Love SetApp. If you're a Mac user and you haven't got SetApp and you're not subscribed to Don McAllister's screencasts online, then you're not a Mac user. You're a Muppet. Jeffrey, what have you got for us?
My pick this week is Bartender. My actual Bartender. No, wait. It's an iOS app that is called NFC Tools, and it's an app that you can use for free. You unlock some more features in it for $2, but what it does is it lets you read and write to NFC chips and stickers from your iPhone. And it's a cool little app if you're interested in learning more about using NFC. And you can do stuff like set up an NFC tag so that when you tap your iPhone on it, it triggers a shortcuts action or something. You could set one up so that like if you go to conferences and you want to give people your contact information, just load up everything that you want to give them on a little NFC sticker and then put it on your computer, your backpack or whatever, and let people just tap it and then they've got your contact info, or set up home automation stuff, whatever you want to do. But considering this is free, if you want to unlock the rest of the features, it's $1.99, and you can get packs of NFC stickers off of Amazon for under $10. This is a really cool way to play with some more automation.
Ooh. Good one. I like that. I have to play with that. I get the impression that's the kind of thing you got to play with before you really unlock the potential.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
But once you do a couple things, then it starts clicking what else you can do with this for yourself. And then it gets kind of cool.
And we love free. Or $2. Patrice, you've frozen, I think. Either that or you're really bored.
No, I think I'm frozen.
Anyway, I love it when it freezes and you've got your eyes closed.
No, I... What's going on with my Mac? Like, it's right now really slow. Anyhow, I hope you can
hear me. Your look's just changed. You're not frozen. You've gone from I'm really bored to I'm pissed off immensely. Oh, no, you've gone back to I'm bored. No, you've gone back to I'm pissed off. It's obviously a slow connection.
No, it's not a connection issue. It's my Mac. Like, the Mac is super slow right now. I don't know. I have to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, I just said we can upgrade it for you.
You look like you're on AOL, mate.
Well, actually, it's a fairly new MacBook. So. My cool thing is Textual, the IRC client that I'm using right now. IRC clients aren't super interesting, but if you want to join us during the show on a Mac and you want to talk to us, then Textual is good, and I think it's it costs a couple of euros, dollars, pounds. But it's definitely worth it. It's not that too much. It's a one-time payment, no subscription or anything. Once you've done that, it works. It's in my opinion one of the best IRC apps that are.
Yeah, Colloquy.
IRC is not good, or not.
We love Colloquy, but it stops scrolling, so it's a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to give Textual a go. I've avoided it so far because I'm a tight ass maybe, but I keep using Colloquy, and then today it's just stopped going through, and it's it's really annoying me, so I need to do it. One of the things I forgot is that Jeff has been very kind as well. Jeff appears courtesy of Smile Software, who do Text Expander. Tell us about Text Expander, Jeff.
Well, sure. So all the stuff that you need to type repetitively, put it in Text Expander, assign it abbreviations, and then you save yourself time typing, and you can avoid errors because you're not having to double check your typing all the time. And I love that I can set up snippets that are really flexible because they can be more than just words. They can have fields that you fill in and pop-up menus and I build dates with my snippets. You can even put AppleScript and JavaScript in your snippets and automate things. So Text Expander, even before I worked for the company, was one of the three apps that I had to put on my computer when it was brand new before I would even try to do anything else.
Yeah, no. Good stuff. And if this is the thing about BTN, is we're about getting things for the listeners. If they want a copy of Text Expander, they can download it. And if they sign up for it, the offer code is BTN2020, and you will get 20% off Text Expander.
Yes.
Thanks, mate. Please thank Smile as well, mate, for that, because that's really cool.
I give everyone hugs every time I see them.
Yeah.
So yesterday I did a beginner webinar, and on the 10th I have an advanced webinar coming up. So if people want to dive into some more advanced features in Text Expander, come join the webinar. It's free, and hit me up with your questions.
Excellent. Magic Man says, I'm getting really used to Text Expander. It's working well, and I'm not reading out what Muller's put. That's just not okay, Muller. You can't say that kind of stuff. I'll get there. Mr. Joyner, I'm so anticipating this because your stuff's usually pretty cool. Not that everyone else's isn't, but.
Well, I tell you what, Ewan, I decided to make a change based on a comment Magic Man made in the chat earlier. He said my lighting was great, and so I'm going to plug the lighting kit that I got. It's a. Am I frozen? Oh no, there we are.
No, you're there.
It's a company called Dazney, and these are two really affordable LED lighting panels. And I'll put the link in the chat. Right now, it looks like they're out of stock on Amazon, but they kind of come and go. But it's about $150. You get two light panels. You get the stands for them. They are slaved together, so you adjust the brightness or the color.
That's cool. Because
it does have temperature control. You do it on one, you do it on both. And I can pretty much burn my eyeballs out if I turn these things up. Right now, what you're seeing is these two panels set at 15%. And so you can do a lot of lighting with these things. And they're very affordable. They stay cool. I know there are a lot of not very, very professional, very expensive lighting kits. This was something I decided to take a shot at, and I've been super happy with. And you can, again, you know, with the temperature control and the brightness control, there is, it's a third-party purchase, but you can even get a remote control, which I don't have. But theoretically, I can have that, so I can sit here and change the color of the lights, or the warmth, I should say, the temperature of the lights and the brightness easily. So this is one that you want to look into if you have lighting needs, if you're in front of a camera frequently.
Are they mains power only, or are they battery as well? Is there a battery option?
There's a battery option.
Oh, that's so really cool.
You could take the mobile. They're a little expensive on the battery part, but you know, no reason you couldn't do it.
Yeah, 45 watts, they're not massive, but the variability from 3000 Kelvin to 5008 is really good because that gets you from the yellow to the blue lights. So that's really worth having. I like the look of those. They're really good. What's the physical size of them? There's pictures on me, but there's no...
I would guess they're about maybe 14 by 16.
Okay, I was going to say 12 inches across. So that's big then. That's pretty good.
Yeah, they've been terrific. I was so glad to get rid of the soft boxes because the soft boxes, especially in a room this the size of my office, just take up so much space.
Yeah.
And these take up almost nothing.
No, good. LED panels are well worth the money, mate. Absolutely. Good stuff. That's a great pick. Love that.
Thank you.
Is it just me now? You got a pick, Mo?
Cool thing, Mo.
I'm sorry, I woke Mo up.
Just do my emails.
You just do your emails. That's good.
You're not even watching this.
Actually, my cool thing. So Ellis has a couple of new controllers that he bought himself for his PS4, and his PS4 controllers were then redundant, the ones that he got with the box. So I went up to him the other day and I said, can I have one of those? And he went, yeah. So I took it down, I paired it with my Mac, and then I thought, right, I'm going to have a look around. And I found some remote control airplane games that were free, and they're quite pleasant. And then I found one called Extreme Landings, which is now trying to expect me to give out my password, which is not good. But Extreme Landings is the link in the chat room. It's available on the App Store for your desktop. And basically, you have a plane that you need to fly, and you've got controls that you can pull in for controlling the engines, and then they give you increasingly demanding circumstances about how the airplane's going to crap out and how you get past it. So they'll flame out an engine and you've got to restart it, or they'll flame out an engine, you can't restart it, so you compensate with the other engines, and you have to make a firm, smooth landing. Simple as that. And you put it on simulation mode. It's pretty tough. It's not bad at all. Now, it's £15 if you want to buy the whole thing, and that gets you all the planes and all the scenarios and absolutely everything. But I've played it for a week now, and I'm using the free system, and I still haven't got to the end of where it says it wants me money. And it's brilliant. I really enjoy doing it. And I've got to say, the PS4 controller with the Mac platform is really, really good. All of the functions the functions on the buttons are there. So there's no real issue. And I've used it on a football game and other stuff as well. To be honest, it's revitalized arcade for me because I was getting really pissed off with arcade. So I thoroughly suggest you should get yourself a PS4 controller or an Xbox controller and then have a browse around the store and see what there is available. There's tons of free stuff and it really brings your Mac alive. It's really, really good. Cool. Where can we get a hold of you, Muller?
Muller Biker on Twitter. And in the Slack room,
and at Birmingham City tomorrow's.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the corporate boxes again. You know, I hang out with the best people.
I didn't ask you to name drop other than the team you're playing against.
Reading.
Yeah,
to think. Oh, right, top flight.
Reading.
We're up against that well-known team, Reading.
Oh, remember we went down to the ground when because. London Irish.
We did, the Majeski, yeah, but we went for rugby, so it was worthwhile.
Yeah.
Come on, Muller. I had high hopes of you. You were going to be a rugby fan for a while.
I am, but you stopped going.
Yeah, no, I just didn't. I wasn't enjoying it. Anyway, another point. Moving on. Patrice is gone. So Patrice is at Casual Kitchen on Twitter and at thepatrice.com on the internet. Jeffrey, where would you be?
I'm over at textexpander.com, which should not be any sort of surprise at all. On Twitter and Instagram, I'm Jay Gamut, and I'm on a lot of podcasts. So I'm easy to find.
Deep Pads put in the chat room, how does Muller get into a corporate box at the Blues? Is he serving drinks? Psst, that's a burn. That is a burn.
They serve drinks to me.
Chuck, I've got to say, mate, we've missed you so much. So glad to have you back. Thank you so much for coming along, man.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be back. And folks, you can find what I do pretty much everything over at macvoices.com, and I'm at Chuck Joyner on Twitter. Let me know what you think.
Chuck, if you get any people who request a meeting on Friday afternoons in the future, tell them to bugger off. You're busy.
I'll send them to you, Ewan.
Thank you. Yeah, no, absolutely. I can be your PA. I can totally be your PA.
Yeah.
Chuck's got a couple of
You might lose all your existing business, but I could totally be your PA.
It would certainly make scheduling a lot easier.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's that whole eating thing that needs to be done.
Don't forget to support the sponsors, and don't forget, if you can, give us a sponsorship and subscription for the Daily News Show. Kyle is totally reliant on you guys doing that. We do appreciate everything that everyone gives. And some people have, actually this week, we've been a bit on social media, and the response has been amazing. We've had some people give us £100 towards the Daily Show. So thanks, Howard. You know who you are. Manage Your Ranking, get me at Your Ranking on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. I'm also available on 12 Space Media on Instagram if you want to follow the rubbish that I do there. We're back again next Friday, as normal. We're going to do 4 p.m. for the Mac show, 6 p.m. For the photo show, and 8 p.m. for the big show. Back at 8 p.m. tonight for the big show with Iman Mac still in the studio. Yeah, you got to find a story that's not Apple, dude. That's going to be hard.
It's going to be a very tough 3 hours.
Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.